Hello. In this session, we are going to talk about opportunity identification and creativity. As you already know, opportunity is very important for the entrepreneurs. Simply, without opportunities, we cannot start our own businesses. Okay? But issue is, you know, who gave the opportunity to us? And where did the opportunity come from? And who made the opportunity for us? That could be an issue. Have we thought about it? Right? So in this session, I would like you guys to shift the focus from how to find our opportunity to how to find out the problems of the consumers. Okay, it is called as a problem-solution perspective. Okay, so before we go into the main topic, I would like you guys to watch this short video clip. His name is Kosla, and he is a co-founder of Sun Microsystem, and later he became the venture capitalist, you know, in Silicon Valley. He right now is a very famous venture capitalist. This video clip, you know, took place in Stanford University. Okay, let's watch the video together. It could be just 30 seconds. Okay, guys, what do you think? Isn't it insightful, right? And, you know, what is his idea? His idea is pretty simple. You know, do not talk about opportunity. You know, we should talk about the problem. If we find out any big problem, then you can start, you can come up with a big solution. And then if we have a big solution, it could be big businesses, right? The problem, solution, and the businesses. This is, again, the problem-solution perspective. Okay? So in this session, we are going to practice in problem solutions. Okay? Look at him. He's a famous scientist. His name is Albert Einstein. And he said that if I were given 1 hour to save the planet, you know, I would spend the 59 minutes to define the problem and 1 minute to find out the solution, right? The 59 minutes for the problem identification and 1 minute, 1 minute to come up with the solution. Wow. So, what do you mean by that? You know, although people thought finding solution is, you know, difficult, but according to Albert Einstein, finding solution is relatively easy compared to finding the problem. Okay, so nobody talk about what is the problem. Nobody, because, you know, for them, everything is fine. You know, for me, everything is fine, right? If somebody else asks me, you know, what's your problem, then, you know, I don't know how to say. Why? Because I don't know what is the problem. Okay. So that's why identification of the problem is really difficult. Okay. You expect somebody have those kind of problem, although he never talk about it. Right? Okay. So, before we go into the real practice in this session, you know, let's watch this video together. You know, he will provide very insightful lecture in terms of the problem-solution perspective, you know, and he will explain the slow elevator problem very well because he wrote this article and published it to the Harvard Business Review. Okay, let's watch it together and we will continue to talk about it. Okay, what do you think? Isn't it interesting, right? You know, he said that there is a slow elevator problem. The situation is pretty simple. I will summarize the situation for you, okay? Look at this. There is one apartment, right? And then there are several tenants. and several tenants feel that the elevator is really slow. So that's why they complain about slow elevator problem. And then, you know, they ask the landlord to fix the elevator as soon as possible. This is the situation. Okay, so what is the problem? Yes, of course, apparently it is an elevator problem. Elevator is so slow elevator problem, right? What could be the relevant solution? Yes, of course, if the problem is slow elevator, then the solution is to fix the elevator right now. So the landlord asked mechanic to fix the elevator right away, and then he paid for it, right? Then the problem solved, right? It's kind of natural. What do you think? No problem, right? No issues. But according to the previous video, it is not the ideal problem solution situation, right? Well, first thing to do is to refine the problem again, rather than go into the visual solutions. Okay, like a fixing elevator. Okay, so before we fix the elevator, we'd better redefine the problem itself. And then, you know, he suggested some stair as alternative solutions. Why he suggests stair? Okay, he redefined the elevator problem like as the lack of the alternatives. Like this, it is not the elevator problem. Elevator is totally fine, but our true problem was we don't have alternatives like great stairs. Okay, if we have a decent and good conditioned stair out there, then people can use these stairs instead of elevator. Then not too many people use the elevator. Then the elevator problems, slow elevator problem, is resolved. So stair burns calorie. And if you are landlord, then you put this instruction on the wall and just, you know, suggest people to use the stair. Okay, then you can save the money, right? And what else? Yes, it is not the elevator problem. It is the lack of the information problem. You know, what if we don't have information? What if we don't know, you know, when elevator is available? Okay, then we feel boring and we feel uncertain. Then we feel elevator is slow. Okay, so instead of fixing elevator right away, we'd better put some kind of information board inside the elevator so that people can, you know, enjoy it. Okay, then, you know, they don't feel boring inside the elevator. Then nobody think about the elevator is slow. Okay, this is kind of alternative solution based on redefinition of the elevator problem. Okay, and what about outside the elevator? Okay, when they are waiting for the elevator, if there is some interesting thing, you know, in front of the elevator, then the tenant can spend their time, right? Like this. Okay, we just put the entertainment devices in front of the elevator so the tenant can use it. Okay, then they forgot everything, right? Then problem solved. So it is not just the elevator problem. It is kind of a lack of information problem. It is a boring problem. Okay, so what about this? Okay, it is not the elevator problem itself. It is a kind of an allocation problem. It means so many people use the elevator at the kind of a similar time. Okay, so you may not read this sentence because the sentence is pretty small. So I will read it for you. Second floor not in service. Instead, discount rent fee. Okay, this is the new instruction. Okay, so landlord think about the elevator problem as kind of an allocation problem, as I already mentioned that. So the landlord can disperse people by not allowing people living second floor use the elevator. Okay, instead, you know, he can give the discount in the rent fee for the second floor person. Okay, then you know, the people people do not feel the elevator slow, right? Okay, what about this? It is not the elevator problem, it is not the allocation problem, it is not the boarding problem. Well, actual problem was this apartment is pretty old. You know what I mean? Smell dirty. Okay, it's smelly and it looks dirty and looks old, so they complain about the apartment. Okay, so it is not the elevator problem, it's old apartment problem, it's a dirty apartment problem. So the landlord clean up everything and put the artwork on the wall, then, you know, so that to make everybody, you know, happy about it, right? So then nobody talk about elevator, right? It is not the elevator problem, it is the cleaning issue, or it is the, you know, old issues, you know, I mean old apartment issues. Related to the old apartment issues, elevator itself looks very old. Okay, so that's why they feel elevator is so slow, because it's not brand new elevator. So, you know, landlord paint elevator again, then make make a looking the brand new elevator. Then, you know, the tenant will be very happy about it, right? The problem solved. Okay, it's a fresh cleaned and fresh painted, you know, brand new elevator. Okay, what else? Yes, it is not the cleaning issue, it is not the allocation issue, it is not boarding issue, it is about the mental issues. Okay, these days our tenants looks very busy, so that's why they feel the elevator is so slow. So, you know, we educate tenant, hey guys, you know, the slow is smooth and smooth is fast, and don't worry about it, your life looking good, so elevator doesn't have any problem. Then people relieve the stress, okay? People relieve the stress and reduce the stress, then their anxiety about elevator is gone, right? This is a kind of alternative solutions. And what else? Is that all? Okay, what about the rent fee? You know, it is not it is not the mental issue, it is an economy issue. You know, rent fee is very expensive. You know, I pay a lot of rent fee, you know, monthly in this apartment, but, you know, we have a dirty and old elevator, you know, it doesn't make sense. So I'm really upset. So that's why they complain about the elevator is slow. But if you reduce the rent fee right now, then, you know, everything can be fine, right? It is not the elevator problem. So guys, what do you think? It is a simple question, right? It is a simple and classic question about elevator. But the solutions are very different. Okay, it depends on, you know, how you define the problems. Okay, for example, if we define the elevator issue as an economy issue, then your solution is a rent fee reduction, okay? If we define the elevator issues as kind of a mental issue, then your solution is kind of education for the, you know, tenant. If we define the elevator issue as a kind of a cleaning issue, then your solution is cleaning up your apartment and renovating your apartment, okay? Or if you define the elevator as a kind of a lack of information issue, then your solution could be providing some kind of information, relevant information for the tenant. Okay, so guys, let's watch the remaining video. Okay, because, you know, his special lecture is so insightful and very helpful. Okay, so now you understand, you know, how to define the problem and how to come up with the solution based on redefinition of your problem, right? Okay, guys, right now, you know, we have applied this problem solution perspective into the real world. Okay, this is the current, you know, tragic accident based by sudden, you know, unintended acceleration. You know, what sudden unintended acceleration, right? Let's watch the news clip together and discuss about what is the real problem. Okay, In this video, in this news clip, the drivers argue that he didn't make acceleration, but the car is rushing. So that's why he hit the 9 people and they are all died. Okay. All 9 people are, you know, very young. And then, you know, it is kind of a tragic, you know, accident. So what is the real problem in this accident? What is the real problem? You know, sudden unintended accelerations. Whose fault? Yeah, maybe car makers. What about the, you know, the drivers? What is the problem? What is the real problem? Okay, guys. Well, some people believe that the real issue is kind of a proof issues. You know, the car makers said that they were not at fault, right? And the drivers also argued that they were not at fault. So the real problem was there's no evidence of the drivers in court when they went to trial together. Okay, so how to prove who's fault? Okay, that is the real issues. Okay, so if you define the problem like this, then your solution could be different. So, you know, one of the startups in Busan created kind of a new devices. Okay, their solution was to install the devices like this, devices to check if you normally, if drivers normally press acceleration or press the brake pedal. Okay, if the drivers step on it normally, then the devices turn it green. Otherwise, it is red. Okay. And also, it's on the record. Okay, it could be a great proof of the sudden unintended accelerations. Okay, what do you think? You know, if you redefine the problem as some kind of a proof issue, then the solution would be some kind of very unique devices to record, you know, every acceleration and brake. Okay, and is that all? What about the other kind of problems related to the tragic issues? Okay, look at this. You know, some people strongly believe that it may be the driver's problem, okay? Especially for the elderly drivers, okay? So they believe the driver's age will impact on the unintended acceleration and lead to the accident. In fact, the drivers in the news was the elderly drivers, more than 60, I think it's 60 years old. Okay, looking at the graph, so the accident seem to be related to the ages. Okay, so if your age is older than 60, then, you know, the accident is increased. Okay, look at another graph. More importantly, in the case of elderly drivers, accident lead to major problems such as death. Okay, you can see the graph. Graph looks like a J curve. You know, after 70 years old, 65 years old, then the, you know, tragic accidents is increased dramatically. So, what could be the solution if you define this problem as an elderly driver's problem? What could be the solution? You know, this is a real startup solution, you know, founded by my graduate student. You know, one of my graduate students thought of the problem as elderly drivers, and she came up with some kind of very unique solution, which is AI-based driver testing. Okay, so she was recently received an investment and have been actively engaged in these businesses. Okay, look at this. Wow, it's a very unique solution. Okay, so basically we test whether the elderly drivers drive a car very well or not, or something like that, okay? So this is a good practice for you to think about the problem-solution perspective, okay? Let's move on to the problem-solution perspective through the histories. Okay, this is when a train is connected across the United States, and then the standard time zone was created. Okay, let's watch the video together and see what kind of the problems we can solve and what kind of the business came out of the situation. Okay, let's watch together. Okay, so how about the video? Isn't it interesting, right? Okay, I will explain a little bit more detail. Look at him. His name was Richard Sears. And he was an agent of the Minneapolis railroad stations. And then he took over the watches from $12 each from nearby railroad station. And then he sold these watches with $14, you know, each to other, you know, station agent. Then, you know, his profit is $2 each. Then, you know, from these activities, he made $50,000. Today's money, $100,000. Okay, think about $100,000. He made $100,000, okay, during 6 months. And it's way beyond his salaries. Okay? So, what he did, and he just quit his job, okay? Then he started watch company in Minneapolis, right? Watch company. Then later, he collaborated with another entrepreneurs and built up some kind of Sears, Lubbock and Company, okay? And this company started catalog businesses. Okay, as you saw in the video, they started catalog businesses. So catalog is kind of a book, it's called order book, 532 pages and 25,000 product. Okay, basically they sold tons of product, almost everything. Okay, throughout the railroad, throughout the catalog, it's a kind of early version of e-commerce. Okay. And then in 1925, what happened? You know, they started retail store. This is a Sears department company, okay? So the Sears department company came out of the trains. Okay, what do you think? Isn't it interesting, right? Let's watch another video. Okay, this is a 1930s Dust Bowl in the middle of America, okay? It was a sandstorm and it was kind of a natural disaster. And many people live in the middle America. They are kind of, most of them are farmers, and they abandoned their farmland and they went to the other area like California. Okay, so now you understand the situation. And so what kind of business opportunities, you know, you can think about. Okay, let's watch the video together and guess what's going on at the time. And, you know, then we will continue to talk about the business ideas. Okay, so did you watch the video, right? And what do you think? I think it's kind of tragic, right? And nobody lived there. Because of sandstorm, nobody plant vegetables. So that's why many people abandoned the farmland. And then what kind of solutions? What is the real problems? Okay, so I want to give you those real examples. Look at him. His name is Garst. And he developed hybrid corn seed in 1930s. Okay. Which is a very strong corn seed, okay? Then, you know, he founded the company, you know, hybrid corn seed company in Iowa, right? And then he distributed more than 10,000 sample bags of the hybrid corn seed in the western Iowa and Nebraska, okay? Basically, he negotiated with the farmers and then asked them to plant he's developed the hybrid corn seed. And then he argued that this corn seed is very strong and you don't have to worry about in this horrible situation. You know, you finally harvest, you know, great corns, although there is the sandstorm, okay? And then, you know, if you make money, then we can share the profit together. That is his idea. Okay, so by mid-1960s, the company produced 5% of all the hybrid seed corns, you know, produced in America. So basically, he occupied, you know, 5% of the entire market. Of course, this company grew dramatically. Then later, this company combined with global, you know, agriculture company, Syngenta, which is a Switzerland company. Okay?